You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking to the Phillies with MLB.com Phillies beat reporter Todd Zielecki. Todd, you had a really interesting piece this week drilling a little deeper on Ryan Howard, and I thought it was intriguing because we sort of talk a lot about big picture, and it's kind of obvious to see big picture. Big guy with what Bill James used to call old player skills, gets into his 30s, these things happen. But you examined the way he's being pitched, and if I read it correctly, it's almost more disconcerting what's going on, the way he's being pitched, and the fact that he's getting fastballs and he can't hit them seems maybe the kind of most distressing thing of all.
Yeah, I definitely think that way. It seemed early on just watching the games, it's like, wow, he's getting a lot of fastballs. He's really, really getting a lot of fastballs. But, yeah, then when you look at the numbers and see that he's getting nearly 60% fastballs, which is when you compare his percentage of fastballs in previous seasons, they were often, you know, under 50%. And the fact that now he's getting more pitches in the strike zone than ever before in his career. So not only are they giving him fastballs, but they're throwing pitches in the strike zone, which to me says – they're just not afraid of him hurting them in any way, you know. Years after he won the MVP in 2006, next thing you know, this guy was seeing breaking ball after breaking ball after breaking ball, and he would almost never see anything. He would almost never see a fastball unless the pitcher was way behind in the count. But now it's the opposite. They're just going, you know what, we're just going to go at you with the fastball, and we're just going to throw some strikes, and we're pretty confident we can get you out. And yeah, so that is disconcerting going forward that he's getting basically what he's wanted to get for years and years and years, and he's not been able to do anything with it so far.
So what can be done either at player or club level about this?
Well, that's the $60 million question right now for Ryan Howard. Ryan Sandberg said yesterday he thinks it's about adjustments. Howard said he thinks it's about adjustments. Ryan Sandberg kind of indicated that he thinks that Howard has not done enough at the plate. He said, you know, hey, if you know you're facing a guy that's throwing 96, you got to kind of do something, make an adjustment to speed up the bat. If you know the net guy you're facing tomorrow is throwing 89 with some sink, then you got to adjust to try to hit that fastball. And it sounds like he doesn't think that he's seeing enough of that from Ryan Howard. But the one question I asked Ryan Sandberg is, do you see any bat speed or bat speed at all? He says he did, but I think certainly, you know, the fact that he's not able to kind of square around in these fastballs like he once did indicates that the bat speed is slowing down a little bit.
I mean, you know, it's kind of what we do at this time of year, but I don't want to make too much of a week and a half. But, you know, there was this hope. Everybody kind of liked the way he was moving in spring training. And I think there was this hope that the way this works is Howard goes out and shows he can still do something and pops a few home runs, and even if he doesn't hit 280, 290 again, maybe hits 250, hits a few balls out of the park, and has appeal to some team that has a DH need or a first base need, and maybe they can move him somewhere. If that doesn't start looking like it's going to be the case, and I know it's not this week. I know you don't make a move based on a week and a half, but as this goes forward, and if we get a few weeks, a month or two into the season, and it's clear that Ryan Howard isn't bolstering his own trade value, what directions do they start looking? Do they start thinking about playing him less? Is there a point this year where a release becomes a viable option? Where do they go if this doesn't get better?
I think there does become a point where, you know, the release gets talked about a little bit. It was discussed last year. You know, the Phillies denied it publicly that they kicked it around, but they did kick it around. I think what they're going to do is he's at least going to get the first 2 months of the season. And that's just a guess on my part, but the reason why I say that is because one of the guys that they have that could potentially play first base is Michael Franco, who's down in AAA right now. And he's down in AAA. He's going to be down in AAA for the same reason that Chris Bryant is in AAA, which is team control. You know, if Michael Franco starts the first 6-7 weeks of the season in AAA, they'll have an extra year of team control over them, you know, which they hope will mean something 6 or 7 years from now. So I think they're going to give Howard at least a couple months of playing fairly regularly, although he has only two. He's had twice in nine games. Has not started twice in nine games, and both of those at times have been against left-handed pitching. So you might see a little bit of a platoon type of situation. But you're right. I mean, they're not going to do anything with him right now because it's kind of a lost year in the sense that they know they're not going to make the postseason, so they really have nothing to lose by playing him that much. Darren Ruff is a nice kind of complimentary player, but he's not the next star in the making, first baseman star in the making. So they really feel that, you know what, we can actually afford right now just to have Ryan Howard go out there and see if he can get it going. And if he can't, hey, you know what, we gave him a shot. We at least now we finally know, and we'll feel a little bit more comfortable about who our first baseman is going to be in the future.
On that same side of the infield, Chase Utley had one big game, hit a couple home runs, and aside from that, both before and since, has also not hit much of anything. You know, again, same caveat as always. We're talking about a week and a half, but is Utley just hitting in bad luck, or does he look not right also?
He hasn't looked as – it was funny that he looked really good in spring training. Like, he was really hitting the ball well going into the season. And he seemed to be one of the guys that nobody was worried about. I still don't think anybody is worried about him, although there has been a couple plays in the field where he has looked a little slower than he has been in the past. I think certainly, though, when you compare him to Howard, when you talk about concern level or, you know, is this guy going to get it back, it's at opposite ends of the spectrum, I would say, because Utley's at least had a little bit better of a recent track record. He's had a little bit better history. You know, he struggled the second half of last year, but when you compare him to other second basemen in baseball, he was still among the top, I think, seven in OPS, certainly among the top second basemen in the National League. So based off that recent history, which Howard doesn't have, I think everybody in the organization, from everybody that I've talked to, is kind of like, you know what, it's not good, certainly, but we think he's going to get it figured out at some point.
So let's look at something that might actually be good news, and that is that Chad Billingsley seems to be getting closer and closer. Seven strikeouts in 8 1/3 innings in AAA. He's made two starts. He's on the way. What are you hearing about how Chad Billingsley is actually looking at AAA?
They seem to be pretty encouraged with what he's done so far. He wasn't real happy with his off-speed stuff, his breaking stuff in his last AAA start. But they're encouraged, and he's going to get three more rehab starts before he's expected to join the rotation. Bob McClure, the pitching coach, said at the end of spring training, he's like, he's looked phenomenal. I can't believe this guy had two elbow surgeries now. Hey, everybody talks great about everybody in spring training, so who knows exactly how accurate that portrayal is and how accurate it'll be once he actually gets in there against big league pitching. But I think certainly the best case scenario is that Chad Billingsley joins the Phillies' rotation in May and pitches very well. I'm not saying, you know, ERA under three or anything, but if he could pitch in the mid threes, you know, quality starts every time out or near every time out, then they could flip him to another team, maybe get a prospect or two in return. I mean, he's only making $1.5 million this year. So, truthfully, I think that was the reason why they signed him in the first place. They needed depth in the rotation. They didn't have it, but they're like, why don't we take a shot on this guy? I hope he comes back. And if he pitches great, maybe we can trade him to a contender and actually get something for him.
What do they think the upside is? I mean, do they think the upside is a guy who's pretty good at the back of the rotation, or do they think there's some chance that maybe this guy gets close to what he showed flashes of? And he never really made it stick for a long time, but he showed flashes of being probably a number two starter in the big league. So they think there's some chance that's still in there, or is that overly optimistic?
I think that's maybe a little bit overly optimistic, but I do think they view him more as more than a back of the rotation type guy. I don't think they look at him as a guy where you kind of go, well, if he can give you five or six innings and allow three or four runs, you know, kind of keep our team in a game every time out, not get blown out, you know, we'll take that. So I definitely feel that they think that he can be better than that, but maybe not at that number two type of level.
Gotcha. All right, well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.